comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We're here because you have a right to know, and we're here because you matter. Now, tonight is going to be Open Line Live. I do have some things to throw on the table. I do have some emails, hot emails, that I'm going to deal with tonight, and they're all about the same thing. And yet, if you were to read each of these without knowing what they were about, you would think they were all about something different. I kid you not. I'll address those emails here in just a little bit, and then we've got some pretty exciting things happening out there in the news that we're going to talk about. And then I will open up the telephone lines. For those of you who remember how to use a telephone, tonight is your night. And you get to call in. You get to talk about any of the things I've talked about here. You can comment on them. Or when we open the telephone lines, you can change the topic. And you can say, I want to talk about this or that, and we'll discuss it. And it's wide open on Open Line Live. Let me remind you that we have a members community. Those of you who have not yet joined, and you're thinking, well, look, you know, I get to listen to the show for free. Why do I need to join the members community? Okay, that's fine. That's why the show is free. Now, if you really want to get the inside scoop on what's going on, and you want to be able to discuss these inside insights and all this information that our community comes up with out there, you might want to be in our forums. Well, that's in the members community. Maybe you would like to you get your friends page going there, you know, send out a few friend requests and get you some friends going. And maybe you want to chat even during the show. We have a chat room, and so you can do that. You can line that up, send private messages to your friends. They can send messages to you. Your own video album. You can upload your favorite video clips to that video album. You can also do the same thing with photos. You have a photo album, your own blog that you can write. And, really dive off into this thing and get the most out of it. It's only $7.50 per month. Come on. 25 cents a day. It's even cheaper if you go quarterly or annually. So $7.50 a month. And we'll give you the first 7 days free for right now. Tonight is your night. If you have not yet joined our members community, then tonight is your night. And you need to join. If you do join tonight, be sure you immediately read the new member info. That's going to be very important for you. Okay, we're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And this evening, as I said, it's open line live, and we'll get to the open lines here in a little bit. But we got to deal with some stuff here, folks, that's really all of it pretty hot stuff. First of all, first thing up, you know, each week we publish the K-Files. And the K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and there is, at the top portion of the K-Files, there's always a little something that I write, and, you know, some inside information about what's going on here and what's coming up, and a few announcements, and a comment about this or a comment about that. And this last K-Files brought down the wrath of the gods on me. And I figure turnabout's fair play. What you throw at me, I can always pick it up and throw it back, right? Well, I'm not going to do that. But look, here's the deal. Last week, I was reading some posts that various people were posting, both people who are inside of the Occupy movement, you know, like Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Portland, Occupy Atlanta, and so forth. So I was reading some of those posts that they were posting in various places, and I was reading posts by people that were opposed to this movement, and just trying to get a feel for what the temperature of the country is on this, just for me. And but I ran across some posts from some people inside of the Occupy movement, or at least they claimed to be, where they were beginning to take pot shots in their blogs and in their posts at the U.S. military. I also ran across some articles that had comments written where the police had really roughed up some of the Occupy protesters in what certainly appears to be unjustified circumstances. To me, it appeared to be unjustified. And I was reading some of the comments, and I read a few comments by people who said, well, that's good enough for them. That's what they deserve. That's why the police are out there. So I just addressed that in the K-Files, and I said, look, you know, I don't get into politics, but this is not politics here. We're talking about the U.S. military, and we're talking about police doing things. This is not politics. And so I said, look, I'm 100% for the Occupy protesters having the right to go protest peacefully. I think they have that right. I don't just think so. The Constitution says they have that right. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with their point of view. They have a right to protest. It's freedom of speech. It's right of and freedom of assembly. They have a right to do that. Doesn't matter what you think about it. They have a right because they are citizens of the United States of America, and we have a Constitution that says they have that right. And so I stated that, and I said, you know, there are few of their views that I agree with. Now, doesn't that to you say, but there are some? Okay, well, so anyway, I also said in this article that police who use violence against peaceful protesters are just being thugs with badges, and they need to be arrested and jailed. Now, look, that's from the point of view of somebody who's been a policeman most of my adult life. There's no place, there's no room under our Constitution for thugs with badges. And if that's what they've turned, I am pro-police, pro-police. When they're being pros, okay. When they're being thugs, there's no place for that. And there's no constitutional right for the police to be thugs. And when the people are exercising their rights under the Constitution, there is no place for the police to put a finger on them. If what they are doing is truly under the Constitution, their right to do so. Doesn't matter what the police think about it. So anyway, I put that sort of stuff in. And then I address this thing about people beginning to say some things about our military. And I remember, I was alive, and I remember how this thing went down in Vietnam. And I'm telling you, those veterans from Vietnam did not deserve what we the people did to them out there on the streets. The name calling and the shaming, and they did what our country called upon them to do, and many of them were drafted and had no choice about going anyway. But I said, look, the problem is not the military. They didn't cause this mess. They're not the problem. The military, all our troops, all our men and women in uniform, when we created the military, we made it so that they have to follow the commands of civilians, right? Now, they do have a commander-in-chief that is a civilian, but that's not the only one they have to follow. They have all those senators and congressmen that are all the time passing this rule and that rule and having investigations, and it's the whole bunch up there. And I said, we the people are the problem because we keep electing the most corrupt, lyingest, betrayingest sociopaths we can find and put them in charge of the military. And then you want to blame the military? They have to follow those orders. That's the way we set it up. Well, I got some email, ladies and gentlemen, and I won't read all of these. I'll just summarize. I said what I said about cops being thugs. Some are apparently being thugs with badges, and they should be jailed. Well, I got some email from people who were really upset that I am so down on police officers. I mean, can you read? Or can you understand what you read? I got some email that said I was really down on the protesters. And I did say they should, that if they go violent, if they go hot, they nullify their cause. Now, let me say this. One of the emails I got, two of the emails I got said that the protesters were justified in going violent when violence was used on them. Yeah, maybe technically. But let me tell you something. When you do that, you're playing right into the hands of the people that you're trying to bring down. When you go violent, you give them the excuse to ramp up force. And you give them the propaganda they need in the media, which they own, they control. It's up to you, okay, but when you go violent, you're playing into their hands. I got one that said I had no right to be anti-Obama and to say that Obama was a sociopath. Look, that was a blanket statement about all politicians. All of them. Collectively. Now, individually, there are some pretty good people in there. But collectively, that's a sociopathic group. They're going to do what they do. It doesn't matter what it does to you. I got a couple of emails telling me that I was quite obviously aiming this at the Tea Party. Excuse me? I got a couple of emails telling me that I was aiming this at the Occupy protesters, and by golly, they expected me to write something hot about the Tea Party next time. Are you people on pills or what? Read what I said, not what you feel that I said. read what I said. I didn't mean something else. There's no reading between the lines with me. I say what I say. And I said what I said, not what you wish I said, what you had a response, an allergic response to thinking I said. I said what I said. And I stand by it. Protesters have a right to protest in this country. Absolute, by God, right under the Constitution. As long as they're peaceful. They have that right. It says they have the right peaceably to assemble. And they have freedom of speech. And it says the Constitution doesn't grant that right. The Constitution says you have that right, and the government can't do anything about it. You have that right. So when the government does try to do something about it, it is, as long as you stay peaceful, no matter what happens to you, and you just get up, dust yourself off, and show back up the next day, you keep doing that, and you will see something happen that they can't, there's no way they can control. Just the peace will overwhelm it. Remember Egypt. All right. Now, I'm not saying that I think that I'm for this, and I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying, take a lesson out of the playbook it already won. Stay peaceful. Oh, the slings and arrows. I wrote what I wrote. I didn't write between the lines. I said only what I said. And I stand by it. And I want to say again, the military is not the problem in all this mess. I don't know how that ever even came up in some of those posts and blogs. Those troops have nothing to do with this. Okay? This mess is of our own making. Okay, now I want to get over to the White House. And because I got all of that response, I am fully expecting to get some more pill-popping response to what I'm about to say. Because there are going to be people that say, you just don't like President Obama, and you're just targeting him. Oh, okay. The White House. You know the White House? That's been around for a long time. A long time before there was a President Obama. And it has temporary tenants. They come and go. Some stay for 4 years. Some stay for 8 years. But they are temporary tenants. They are squatters in the nation's house. And that applies to all administrations. They are just there for a flicker, and then they're gone. Well, in this case, this does apply to President Obama in that he is the current occupant of this house. But it is not politics. Okay? Just because I said Obama does not mean this is politics, all right? Just because I said White House does not mean this is politics. The White House set up a page on their website so that people can go there and write a petition and then encourage people to go online and sign that petition. If it gets a certain number of signatures... then the White House has promised they will provide an official response to that petition. There were two petitions up there having to do with UFOs and extraterrestrials. Two petitions asking for the White House, or asking the administration, to end the truth embargo and open their files on UFOs and extraterrestrial presence to the public. So you're familiar with that. You know, we had Stephen Bassett on talking about it, and one of those petitions was his. Well, his got enough signatures to get a response. And here is the response. I know you've already read it, but maybe you haven't noticed a couple of things. We'll see. Searching for E.T. Okay, here we go. This is from Phil Larson, who works on the Space Policy and Communications at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. His response, thank you for signing the petition asking the Obama administration to acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. The U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet, or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. In addition, there is no credible information to suggest that any evidence is being hidden from the public's eye. However, that doesn't mean the subject of life outside our planet isn't being discussed and explored. In fact, there are a number of projects working toward the goal of understanding if life can or does exist off Earth. Here are a few examples. And then he cites SETI, the Kepler NASA spacecraft, the Mars Science Laboratory, which is going up on the 25th of this month, just a few days away. And then he says, a last point. Many scientists and mathematicians have looked with a statistical mindset at the question of whether life likely exists beyond Earth and have come to the conclusion that the odds are pretty high that somewhere among the trillions and trillions of stars in the universe there is a planet other than ours that is home to life. Many have also noted, however, that the odds of us making contact with any of them, especially any intelligent ones, are extremely small, given the distances involved. But that's all statistics and speculation. The fact is, we have no credible evidence of extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. Kind of gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling called deja vu, right? Deja vu, the feeling you've heard this bull before. Well, it is what we expected. I don't know that we should be surprised or disappointed. We got pretty much what we expected. But there is something that we're going to look at when we come back from this next break in that statement that really has some possibilities. We'll be right.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight's going to be Open Line Live. I want to throw this on the table and a couple of more things very quickly, and then we will open the telephone lines. But let's get to what we've got here with this statement out of the White House. Now, I want to assure those of you who are, you know, You've got open wounds and you're super sensitive if anybody says Obama, whether you like him or hate him. That's not the issue. This is the Obama administration. That's who's in the White House now. This is their response. And it says, it's written apparently by Phil Larson. And he says, the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet. If you take this at face value, you read it and you let it go. But remember, this is coming from a place that is totally, completely infested with lawyers. So Larson, before this was released, I'm sure had to give his. I mean, it would be safe to assume he had to give this to someone that read it and decided on any editing or wording changes or anything like that before it was released. And that would have been someone, you know, who is has that whole lawyer thing going. And this may be one of those deals where it depends on what the definition of is. He didn't say that the U.S. government does not know about evidence concerning life off planet and concerning extraterrestrial presence having contacted or engaged any member of the human race. He says the U.S. government has no evidence. That may be exactly true. I mean, we've heard about this, haven't we? Over the years on this show, I've had guests on who have said that the way this is done now, it's all farmed out to private industry and contractors. And so the U.S. government doesn't have it. They have access to it, but they don't have it. If those stories are true, the U.S. government doesn't have that evidence. So this may depend on what the definition of is. Famous line from a former president. This may depend on what the definition of has is. Because he doesn't say the U.S. government knows of no evidence. He said the U.S. government has no evidence. And yet, we have piles of files that have been released where you have U.S. government studies that came up with a certain percentage of unknowns when they were dealing with UFOs. They could, and those were, especially in Project Blue Book, those were the ones that had the best, most credible witnesses. And those then, they couldn't explain away. So they were true unknowns. So I think the wording of this is very interesting. I really do. I think it's significant. The wording is the U.S. government has no evidence. Very probably true. But it would not be true, I think, to say the U.S. government knows of no evidence. They know about it. They know all about it. But this is yet another way to appear to be responding to the people while blowing smoke up their skirt. The final statement here says, the fact that we have no credible evidence of extraterrestrial presence here on Earth, or the fact is, we have no credible evidence of extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. That's the final statement in this statement released by the White House. Yeah, that may be true. We have no credible evidence. Why? Because very possibly, and I would say likely, it's been farmed out to contractors and private industry. Highly classified, but it's contractors in possession of it. Private industry, private businesses in possession of the information. So the government can say with a straight face, we don't have it. Like I said, it gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling of deja vu. The feeling you've heard this bull before. All right, now I want to go to NASA and throw something out here. NASA has discovered something completely new on the surface of Mars, so they say. They say that what they've discovered is something they've never seen on Mars before. Well, they've seen it actually with satellite photographs. And they say so. They're not lying about that. They say they've seen it with satellite photographs. But what's happened now is they've sent the Opportunity rover over to take a look at this thing they have found. It's not just in one place either. They found these ribbons or veins of something. Now, what we're looking at on our TV channel looks like homemade or handmade bricks that are laid out on the surface of Mars. And, I mean, they're very regularly shaped. And if you look closely, you can see that each one of these is divided in the center. And they're regularly spaced, which is pretty odd. But according to NASA, those certainly are not bricks. Those are deposits of, I think it's pronounced phyllosilicates, or silicates, phyllosilicates. And why is that such a big and amazing discovery? Well, phyllosilicates belong to a class of minerals that they form in the presence of water. But in this case, these phyllosilicates are of a composition that was formed in water that has a much lower acidic content than what is thought to have been on Mars, according to NASA. Okay, and why is that important? Because that takes them a whole lot closer to being able to say that it was an environment that could have been habitable for life. Now, you know my position on this. My position on this is that they know there is life on Mars. I don't think NASA has any question legitimately about that. The Gil Levin experiment showed that there were biological processes taking place on Mars. And they first announced it, and then they backed off of it. So I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that NASA knows there's life on Mars. But, you know, there have been these little tiny steps toward getting there. And then one day they're going to say, hey, guess what? We have discovered, voila, there's life on Mars. But they're taking these little tiny, tiny steps ever so closer to saying that. Well, I read one article already, one post, not an article, but a post that said, you know, hey, I don't care how you slice it, those are bricks. I don't know. I think nature could do those. I'm not saying nature did do those, but I think it could. It is amazingly regular in its shape and size, each one of them about the same size, and that's pretty interesting. And they're laid out, you know, with about the same distance from each one is about the same distance from the next one. It looks very, very regular. Bricks? Well, I don't know. Could be, I guess. But I don't have any problem with the idea that nature did that, at least at this point, with the information that I've got, which admittedly is not much. I don't have a great deal of problem buying that nature did that. But the point is, they are moving ever so slowly and ever so much closer to being able to say Folks, we have discovered life on Mars. At the same time, we have the White House saying, you know what? We have no evidence of life off of this planet. Now, during the Phoenix lander mission, NASA got blown away. Up until the Phoenix lander mission, their official statements were that the atmosphere on Mars was so incredibly thin that liquid water could not even exist on the surface. Now, they're rewriting those statements now, and they say it cannot persist. But they used to say it couldn't even exist on the surface. So if ice melted, what would happen, according to NASA, is it would go straight from ice to vapor. No liquid state, because the atmosphere was so thin, it just couldn't do it. But with the Phoenix lander, the whole world saw that wasn't true, because they saw as water droplets condensed, formed, and ran down the leg of the Phoenix lander at the surface. So there was liquid water at the surface right there being condensed out of the air, meaning that there is a significant amount of hydrogen and oxygen in the air. And that means just the presence of that water means that what NASA's been telling us about the conditions on Mars and how thin the atmosphere is cannot be true. Is not true, cannot be true. The atmosphere is much, much thicker than they tell us. And some people have written to me and said, well, you know, it's foolish for you to talk about how the atmosphere on Mars and conditions on Mars are Earth-like. I haven't said that. I've never said that. What I have said is it's far more Earth-like than what we've been told. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we'll open up the telephone lines for you in the next segment. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, tonight is Open Line Live, and so I've thrown on the table some things. I got a couple of more things we could talk about and may talk about, but let's get these telephone lines open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, if you're anywhere else besides the USA or Canada, you can call that number, or there's an additional option for you on my website. It is called a flash message. Scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and above it, you will see a link that says flash message. Everybody else, if you're in the USA or Canada, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Is my volume okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, have you did you hear the latest news with you know, Anthony Sanchez, who is researching Dulce? He's been on your show. Did you read that story about what happened to him?
Yes, and I listened to his interview with Kerry Cassidy.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had heard that. I was wondering about that.
He so will.
Like something's going on there, and apparently he got paralyzed. He got poisoned with some biotoxins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing, we are going to have him on the show.
The photograph that you showed of just now from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It may be just a photo anomaly, but boy, the reflection on the that lander. If the background, or let me put this correctly here. The reflection on the arm of that lander shows it sure is blue, isn't it? I don't know if that's a photo anomaly, but if that's the skyline of Mars, it sure looks blue.
Doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. So,
and
maybe it is.
Last thing is, I'm not surprised about the response from the White House. We've been lied to over and over and over again. I don't think anybody believes a single thing that the government tells us anymore. I mean, you look at the polls, it's about 80% just flat out don't believe a word that they say. So it's pretty laughable, but, you know, it was to be expected. Anyways, Anthony Sanchez, Jesse Ventura goes up there and starts trying to bury. He tried to poke around, and they wouldn't let him. And then he goes up there and finds something peculiar. Next thing you know, he's in the hospital with a paralyzed face. And they do blood tests on him and find out he contacted some kind of bio agent. So everybody out there should keep him in their prayers and go listen to that interview and make sure he gets the information out.
Yeah.
That's all I really have, though, Kevin. I'm going to get off the line. My phone, I've been having phone problems, so.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ryan.
I just wanted to make a few comments. Sir.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Yes, I have been in touch with Mr. Sanchez. And yes, he will be coming on the show to talk about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. This last weekend, I had the opportunity to go see Jerry Wills in person.
Uh-huh.
He was at the Mesa Creative Arts Center in Burgistown. And I really was happy that I went to see him. He's very interesting. I was prepared, you know, through the shows that you've done on him and with him to, you know, what to look for. But I was really happy that I went to visit him. I would encourage anybody that if they get a chance to go see him.
Was he as tall as I said?
Oh, yes, he was tall. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You said it so many times that when I seen him come in, it didn't really look that tall. But he is that tall. It was more that I expected. I got what I expected. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Interesting also is there was about 50 people, I'm going to say, and a couple of them were Kevin Smith Show listeners. Joanne and Chuck, I wanted to say hi to them. It was nice hearing them, you know, meeting some listeners.
Yeah.
Most of the people there were because they were interested in his healing abilities. I would say that was their main reason for being there. But what I really wanted to say was last week I called in when Laura Eisenhower was in.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. quite an interesting person. And she mentioned, I talked to her quite extensively, but I forgot her. I didn't think of it at the time. She said something about UFOs attacking underground bases or undersea bases. Do you recall her saying that?
You know something, I'm going to be honest with you. I do recall somebody saying that. I cannot specifically remember if it was her. But I do recall that coming up.
I definitely did you know, recall her saying it. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about that action?
I know that a very specious source by the name of Sorcha Fall reported when there was an earthquake up in where was it? Was it Tennessee? Anyway, it was in Virginia. Anyway, it was up close to Washington D.C. and it was felt all the way into Washington D.C. Just maybe 3 or 4 months ago, there mm-hmm. was that earthquake, and within a 12-hour period, there was also an earthquake in California. Both were essentially the same magnitude and essentially the same depth. And Sorcha Fall reported that these were caused by underground nuclear blasts in the government's secret tunnel system, where forces that are, and by forces we're talking about U.S. military forces, that are loyal to the Constitution and against this New World Order stuff, had blown up these tunnels that were being used between the CIA in Langley and the CIA underground facility in Colorado. And so that's the only place that I have heard anything at all about this. Everyone who says that that's what happened, when you trace their source back, it all goes back to Sorcha Fall. So Sorcha Fall this is not a scientific estimate here, but it's just my opinion. Sorcha Fall hits it on target and gets it right about 0.1% of the time. The rest of the time, it's baloney. And but, you know, what is this one? Is it baloney or is it on target? Man, I don't know. I find it very difficult to buy the idea that we had the U.S. military at war with the CIA underground.
I seem to recall Laura Eisenhower mentioning it, that it was UFO, you know, ET's involvement. Maybe when you get a chance to see her, if the thought comes to you, maybe ask her specifically about that.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Yes. We have a break taking over.
You, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. We will be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this with Open Line Live continuing. The Kevin Smith Show. Let me say, for those of you who were watching our TV channel, don't know what happened during that break. The computer simply turned off. So it's rebooting, and we'll have your video feed back up here in just a moment. But it is Open Line Live, and as we always say, always remember, it is a radio show, and that computer is chugging along just like it's supposed to. All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe.
Hello, John.
I just wanted to give you a comment on the formations, or the formation that you saw on Mars.
Yeah.
Okay, from my experience in the field as an earth scientist, it looks like it's a volcanic feature, which is known as a dike. If you've ever been out to Big Bend in West Texas, there are some larger features that are similar to that. It's a volcanic intrusion, and we know Mars was volcanic and has been.
Well, you know, in
like
fact,
it looks like some kind of andesitic dike that just came up through the cracks. That's
well,
what it looks like to me, and I've seen plenty of evidence of other things in the field similar to that. Here.
Well, and I have too.
And I believe.
Yeah,
not far from me.
Not far from me. There is a place where they've cut down through a hill in order to build a roadway. And as you drive down that roadway, you can see the exposed sediment and rock face and everything. And there are features that look just like that. It looks like a brick wall, actually.
Intrusion. It's a volcanic intrusion.
That's
what it is. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, and I've been interested in Mars for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the largest volcano in our solar system is on Mars, and Olympus Mons, and that thing is unbelievably gigantic. And now we have a little echo. Okay, that thing's unbelievably gigantic, and I mean it dwarfs Mount Everest. It's so huge. And so it's certainly well within the realm of possibility and probability that is caused by nature.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you believe in the universality of geological processes within our solar system, it's got to be this something similar, you know, to what we can see here exposed on the surface.
Well,
so that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Now, what I find interesting, though, is that they keep moving us a step, tiny little step forward, every so often with, we're closer to being able to know whether there was life on Mars. Well, see, what's coming up, here this has come out, right?
And that looks totally inorganic, though.
Well, they're saying that it's phyllosilicate. And
yeah, they can say whatever they want. Looks like it's something else.
Oh, okay.
Me.
All right.
And because of the contrast.
Well, I think they've released this information in this picture because of the fact that on the 25th of this month, the next rover goes up, and it's a big one. It's the size of a car. And it goes up. And this is specifically what they say it's going to be looking at, these kinds of formations like this, in the crater called Gale Crater.
Okay, well, what you really need to be able to look at is this in a much bigger picture. In other words, you need to look at it from not just something specifically taken within the camera frame, but rather over many acres or miles of area.
Well, what would we see?
And so, I mean, and then you'll see, at that point, because that looks like a dike. And that's a commonly known geologic term for a volcanic intrusion.
And if it was possible for us to back off and see over a many acre area, what would we likely be seeing?
Oh, you'd see this. You'd see this same feature extend for, probably a much longer distance than you'd expect. It's definitely. I mean, I can look at this and I go, this is not a brick.
Yeah,
it's not something that's not natural. This is a volcanic intrusion.
All right, now let me just ask you this. Now, like I said, I read where somebody said that looks like bricks, and I agree it's very regular in its size and in the size and shapes of these segments. But I've seen features like this here on Earth, and they're not bricks. But now let me ask you this. Having said that, if this was volcanic, why would it be this color instead of dark like lava?
Oh, it just depends on the composition of the mineral you know, at the time that this was pushing upward through cracks in the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about mineral composition. I mean, it that will vary.
So you don't think this has anything at all to do with the search for life?
No, not at all. That's a diversion. This is a very natural looking feature to me. And I've seen plenty of them here on this planet. And I wouldn't say that is an indication of life, but rather an indication of a volcanic intrusion.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Let's assume that it's exactly as you say.
Okay.
And let's assume that NASA is going to do exactly what they said, which is they're sending this new rover to look at these kinds of formations. That would indicate then that if it is as you say and has nothing to do with the search for life, that NASA is not telling us the truth about what that rover is really going to be doing looking at these formations. So let me ask you to speculate, why would they be looking at this and telling us that it's the search for life? Why would they be interested in looking at this?
It's a head fake. You know, they're trying to get your attention on something else. You know, this is not about life. This is about geology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this looks, you know, so typical of stuff that you see throughout the desert that's exposed, and this is no different.
So, if it's a head fake, what are they really looking for?
Well, that's a good guess. Maybe they're just looking to divert our attention, and they're not going to tell us what they're really looking for.
Okay, so
I don't trust these folks.
You don't buy their story, do you?
No.
I could tell.
Well, geology is pretty simple, and you know, if you believe in the universality of geologic principles within certain pressure and temperature domains, this kind of stuff is not unusual. There you go.
Okay. Well, I agree.
I'll get out of your hair.
I agree. I think that this certainly, I can say it has the appearance of bricks. As I said at the top of the show, I have doubts about that. It looks like something geological to me, but I guess what we need to do is really keep an eye on this new lander and, you know, whatever it is that it's going to be doing up there. Maybe we can ferret that out as it goes along.
Well, what we really need to do is see the true color of the sky and get some real good surface chemistry done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you agree with my statement that the presence of liquid water blows away what they've been saying?
Oh, I think there's liquid water there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know there is, for sure.
Mind. I've been looking at Mars since the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And been very much intrigued by it. So I think there's plenty of evidence for liquid on Mars, and because of the pressure temperature situation on that surface, I think there's water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like it. What else would it be?
Yeah, Well, I agree.
I mean, it's Occam's razor.
Well, I think that the presence of liquid water, which, of course, is absolutely proven by the Phoenix Lander photo of the water droplets on the leg, plus now they have admitted that they see water flows on the surface. So the presence,
yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, and so the presence of water, liquid water, absolutely proves that what they've been telling us about the density of that atmosphere is inaccurate at best and a lie at worst.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think something is being hidden. But then again, many things are being hidden from us here on terra firma.
That is true. That is true. Well, John, I want to thank you for the call. As always, very interesting.
Well, thank you, Kevin. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. All right. It's Open Line Live tonight. Those of you who joined us at the top of the hour may not be aware of that. It is Open Line Live, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. You never know where you're going when you follow that road.
Where do you think it's going?
I can't see any further than that camera's pointing at.
Yeah.
So, never know. It could be a geological formation, I guess, but... really, you know, it looks like type of work I do when I try to lay a little wall around a flower garden. So
it does, but you know, I've
laid that if it was man-made was too big to bend over and do his job right.
Yeah, it does have the appearance of it could be. I mean, you could say, well, it looks like bricks. Yeah, but I have seen formations like this right here on this planet. And in fact, do you remember several years ago that Walter Bosley and I did a little mini documentary out at South Mountain in Phoenix?
Yes.
Yeah. In that documentary, as I'm panning from right to left, you see what looks like, and I even comment on it. I say, you know, that kind of looks like that could be a wall that somebody built there. It looks like, you know, either cut stones or brick in there. And then we get up closer to it, and you can see that's not what it is. It's geology. But, you know, I've seen formations like this, and I think John from Conroe probably has this right. But then, look, as he said, if he's right, this has nothing to do with a search for life. So what do you think this is all about, this press release and this picture coming out of NASA?
Well, you know, NASA has ways of you expect a fastball and it throws you a curve.
Yeah.
So as John said, this could be a distraction. But what I want to know, it's why don't they waste their time doing this? Why don't they take these rovers over to, you know, where the alleged face on Mars was and the alleged pyramid city and all that kind of stuff?
Well, they don't want you to know about that. They don't want you to know about that. But, you know, these rovers...
It's like the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. All you're going to see is rocks.
Yeah, but these rovers... for instance, Opportunity has been up there now for 8 years, and
right.
it has traveled just over 20 kilometers.
Right.
So that's not much.
No, and you know the thing about it is, every time they think its battery life is going down because of dust storms, seems like all of a sudden their dust something cleans the panels off and they get to charging again. Is that rain? Is that wind? Or is it somebody following along behind it?
Well, I don't know. It is a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't expect them to last, I don't think, but like 90 days, and here they're still going after all, one of them is anyway, still going after all these years.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Spirit was going up until about the middle of last year.
Right.
And it, the only reason it died is it got stuck in a sand pit and couldn't get out. And
exactly.
Opportunity, though, is still chugging along, and it's been at it for 8 years now.
Do you have happen to know exactly where it is at this particular time in its sojourn?
Hang on, and I'll see if this says. It is, as I understand it, at a place called Homestake Rock.
Okay, is that near any place that we really want to see?
Well, it's where it's scientists that are running it want to see. But no, it's not near anything you and I would be interested in looking at, probably.
Here again, you wonder if it's a distraction, as John was saying. He didn't trust them, and that he thinks they could show us a lot more than they are showing us.
Yeah.
They give us the scraps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, are you watching the show tonight or listening?
I'm looking right at you.
Okay. You know, that's pretty clear detail in that picture. And
yeah,
we have seen lots of pictures from Opportunity looking down at the ground that were way fuzzy. And here we have one that's pretty clear. In fact, very clear. A lot of detail in this.
The only problem is cropped, and you can't see either side of it or above it.
Yeah, but the point is that here is living proof of what I say all the time. They can give you good pictures when they want to.
Oh, yeah.
When they want to.
Let you go, Kevin, so other callers can get in here.
All right,
and,
thanks.
Thanks for opening up. This is a good show.
Thank you. Look, when they want to give us good pictures, they can. They have them. And they can give us nice, clear, focused pictures when they want to. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
And I'd like to address the life on Mars situation, given the presence of water dense enough in the atmosphere that it wants to accumulate on the legs of landing craft, and some of the other photographs that we've seen on your program. Water, the last I heard, was two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. And oxygen on a planet like Mars, and the way the Earth was when it was a protoplanet, was produced by cyanobacter, anaerobic bacteria that exist in the absence of oxygen. But one of the byproducts of their metabolism and catabolism is oxygen. They produce oxygen. And for there to be oxygen then on Mars, there has to be, at the very least, prokaryotic bacteria just teeming under the surface or even on the surface. And in that photograph that you're featuring there, that layout of landscaping bricks is interesting by itself, but what tickles me is the close-up of all the little rocks and things that are surrounding it. They look like they're maybe high iron content exposed to oxygen. And oxygen and iron are highly reactive together. You know, you can tell when you look at your lawn furniture outside or your grill that you leave outside too long. Pretty soon you get this red, rusty-looking stuff on the outside, and it's just oxygen in the atmosphere reacting with the iron on the on whatever's out there. And as I look at those little rocks, you know, I don't have any empiric evidence for this, but I intuit that I could almost reach down and pick up one of those rocks, and if I touched it to my tongue, I would taste rust.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, it's always been interesting to me, Steve. They say that, okay, you take the official NASA story about the atmosphere on Mars, and it's they tell you it's got almost no oxygen. But then you read, well, why is Mars red? And their answer on the NASA website is that's because of oxidation.
It looks like it to me.
Well, you have to have oxygen. You got to have oxygen to have oxidation.
Right. And almost no oxygen is still oxygen.
Yeah.
It's like me saying, I have almost no money. Well, guess what? I still have some change jangling in my pocket. Yeah, there's oxygen there, and that speaks of the presence of prokaryotic bacteria at the very least. Obviously, these people think none of us have taken microbiology 101. You know, if they want to stand and say, you know, we have no evidence. Well, there it is. It's staring us right in the face, I think.
Yeah, and
I'm going to go ahead and hang up now, Kevin.
Well, before you do,
room for other callers.
Yeah, before you do, I have a question for you on these things that, you know, I said, yeah, they're kind of shaped like bricks. It kind of looks like bricks. They look like they have a thin dusting of that red, rusty stuff too. Do you see that in there?
I do see that, and I have a mattock in my garage that I feel like I could just step out there and stick my mattock under one of those things and pry it up. And I'd love to see what scurries away if I did.
All right. Steve, thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin. Good night.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. It seems like that every time any part of our government says anything, they've got their language so refined down that it creates more suspicion. I mean, the deal with the statement about the UFO petition, the government has no evidence. Okay, I can buy that. We've all heard that. We've all heard that the government has no evidence now. It's all in the hands of contractors that work for the government, private business. We've heard that from several guests on this show. So it would be a true statement. The government has no evidence. That does not mean the government has no knowledge. But here, with the NASA press release and this picture, we have some more of that highly rarefied and refined language as well. All right, we're going to step away for break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Again, during the break, the TV transmission messed up. I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, but it is a radio show. All right. To the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Doc in Arkansas. It's been a long time since I talked to you.
It has been, Doc.
Got a question for you, buddy.
All right.
Okay. I've been, you know, listening about you know, and everything about the rover and all that tonight and everything. And I've been listening to you here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was wondering and everything, now, they used to have a deal, have you heard about it, that people was able to, like, log in when the rover was not in moving mode to control the cameras?
No, I didn't know that.
So I was wondering maybe some people can do some research on that, because there used to be a feature of doing that.
Yeah.
They would lock the rover in and position it like in the evening time and then let people control the camera.
Hmm. No, I didn't know that. And do you know where to go to check that out to see if they still have that?
Last time I was, a long time ago, was on the, you know, for the Mars Explorer rover. That's all I remembered last time I was doing that, how I lost a lot of my links.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I had no idea about that. This is the first time I have heard about it, to the best of my knowledge. But look, if you find out they've still got it, let me know, and we'll put that link out for people.
I'll send you a message on it and everything. I'm going to call my friend at NASA.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
You have yourself a good evening, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, Doc. All right. 623-444-5889. Open line live, and we would love to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hang on, caller. Let me push the right button and bring the correct line up. All right. Your first name and from where are you calling?
John from Arizona.
Oh, hello, John. How are you?
How you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Hey, just a couple of thoughts about the rover.
Uh-huh.
It seems that I recall about a 50% failure rate both on Russian and American satellites or rovers or whatever they were sending to Mars. And knowing the tendency for our government to lie to us makes you wonder what all those failed satellites and rovers are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you something else. And I talk about this in my book, Mars Maximum Mystery. There are, I think, it's either 7 or 9 old satellites around Mars that are still in orbit. They're still in contact with NASA. NASA still tracks them, and you know, there's most of them still operational. And the question is, now that that's not public news anymore, what are they doing?
Exactly. You know, there's another point that it's a little off the rover idea. It's more along the idea of hidden knowledge. When you were studying for the ministry, I don't remember which one you were pursuing, but did you ever discuss the vast library in the Vatican?
Well, yeah, let me clarify. I did theological studies because I wanted to be certified as an occult crimes investigator.
Oh, okay.
All right. The yes, it was often mentioned, it was brought up, that the Vatican had vast, vast stores of information that nobody could get to. But that's about it. I mean, most people never ever get into the hidden Vatican files, and therefore, or hidden Vatican library, so therefore, we really don't know what's in there.
Well, and as I understand it, it goes back first century, and some knowledge probably prior to that. Makes you wonder if they have some of those supposedly burned files from the Library of Alexandria.
Well, they very well could. Some of the surviving scrolls.
Well, some of the scrolls that survived that the rest of us think are burned.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, I think one of the biggest questions is, why are these locked away? I mean, it is a question of what's in them, but then I think a bigger question is, why lock it up? Why? What are you trying to keep people from knowing?
Well, it talks, you know, the thing that comes to mind right offhand would be the, the ancient civilization that, the cuneiform writings.
Uh-huh. Well, it could be.
You know, and they talked about space flight and battles in space and, you know, and if we have one or two documents that talk about that kind of science from thousands of years ago, even if it was science fiction, it shows that people had the idea of it being possible, and it isn't a great step from the, you know, before somebody starts putting foundations under that fantasy and making it reality.
Yeah. Of course, the Vatican, back when they began hiding all this information, the church at that point, the Roman church, had the opinion that, number one, if you were not Christian, then you are pagan, and if you are pagan, you're barbarian, and whatever it is you write or know is wrong. Because it can only, the truth can only come through the church. Okay? Secondly, they had the opinion that even if you claim to be Christian, if you were not part of the Roman church, you were an infidel. And
yeah,
so,
narrow-minded attitude.
So whatever you knew was also wrong. And
that keeps the believers and the churchgoers happily ignorant.
Well, it did serve to do that. Yes, it certainly did.
Yep. Well, that was the only 2 points I wanted to make.
All right, John. Thanks for the call.
All right. Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Let me also say, for all of you who wish to write me and tell me I am the spawn of Satan, you can do that by going to my website. You click on where it says contact, and then you click on where it says comments, and you can tell me how evil I am for stating a few facts. And or if you have a different opinion, you can do that as well. If you want to suggest to me a link to see or a topic that we might discuss on the show, or you want to suggest a guest, well, there's a button there in the contact page that is called Suggestion. So you click that, and you can communicate with me that way. This whole thing with NASA... it's just very, very interesting to me that they've come out with this picture that we've been talking about here and that we used to be able to show you, but we cannot show you right now. The reason we cannot show it to you right now is because something has seized our computer, or someone has seized our computer that broadcasts the TV channel. So therefore, I can't, there's nothing I can do. It's just locked up. And I will try during the next break to unlock it. But, you know, the show's almost over at that point anyway. But this whole thing with the NASA picture, and, you know, we've been talking about how it kind of looks like bricks. You got to understand, folks, if we say it looks like, now, most of you get this right off the bat. I know you do. But when we say it looks like, we're not saying it is. We're trying to describe, so you can picture it in your mind, what its appearance is. It has the appearance, it looks like, homemade bricks that are laid out on the surface, partially buried in the soil, and they, just guessing, they look like they're about an inch and a half apart. They're all roughly the same height, same thickness, and right in about the middle of each one of these bricks, there's a division, there's a line, an indentation. And so it looks very, very regular. It looks suspiciously like bricks. But as I said, I have seen formations on Earth that look like that. We had John from Conroe that called in, and he explained what to him it appears to be. And I think he called it volcanic intrusion. And he is a geophysicist. So, and he didn't say that. It's just previous calls where he's called in, we have discovered, he has told us that he is a geophysicist. And so, you know, it looks like it's a natural formation. But again, what NASA says about this, they're very, very excited because they're saying that these veins, as they describe them, contain phyllosilicates, and that belongs to a class of minerals that form in the presence of a watery environment. They form in water that is less acidic than the water that is thought to have given rise to the silica-rich clay minerals discovered by the NASA Spirit rover. So what they're saying is this is possibly an indication of water being present that was less acidic and therefore more friendly toward life. And so they're pretty excited about it, they say. And what they're going to do is the new rover that's going up is called Curiosity. And it's going to launch on the 25th of November. So that's coming up. The 25th of November is coming up just in a few days. And so they're going to send it off to Mars. It's a rover the size of a car. It's a big rover. Got a lot of science on it. And they're going to land that rover near the Gale Crater. And they chose this location primarily based on the fact that satellite imagery suggests this crater is rich in phyllosilicates. Well, now the purpose of the Curiosity rover is to look for the components, the building blocks of life. It would seem to me that if they're serious about finding life, if that's what they're really serious about, then what they would need to do is, you know, why look for the building blocks? Just send some experiments up there that test for biology, that test for biological processes. That seems like that's like cut to the chase, right? Amazingly, they actually already did that. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's broadcast. We are right now attempting to get the TV stream going again. For those of you who were watching, I've got no idea what's up with that. I would tell you that we've never had that happen before, but we probably have. We've had some weird stuff happen with our various streams, including the TV stream. And I think it probably is back online now. All right. So let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Clay from Arkansas.
Yeah, Clay.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, you had a guy that had been to haunted houses, two haunted houses, and did you ever, you were cut off at the end. you ask a question, is the poltergeist stronger or weaker during different times of the season?
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that I remember that his answer was that it's not seasonal.
Oh, okay. Because you were cut off.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, and especially, you know, we don't have too many problems with our TV stream, but yeah. if we are going to have a problem, it's most likely going to be with the TV stream. The radio streams are pretty rock solid, but I don't know. There's something about broadcasting video that it just gets all messed up sometimes. And I don't know. You know, it worked fine last night, and tonight it doesn't want to work. So,
okay. I have one more question.
Okay.
And that question, I think I've heard you say this on a previous TV program. Did you sleep on the floor, and is it a bad back, or do you do some form of meditation or something like that? I'll take the answer offline.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
All right. Do I sleep on the floor? Well, yes and no. I don't know what that got to do with anything. No, I have an air mattress that I sleep on, and it's on the floor. And no, it's not due to a bad back. My home, I have a home, and it's paid for, and it's nice. It's not luxurious, but it's nice, and it's paid for. No mortgage, okay, but it's not in this country. I see no reason for me, there's absolutely nothing that I can see that makes sense about me duplicating that and either buying or building a home in the United States. I've got a home. And so do I live pretty much in my studio? Yeah, I do. I have for years. Ever since I came back from overseas, that house was built while I was overseas and paid for. And so when I came back from overseas, I see no reason to duplicate things that I already own. Why should I try to have the same thing here that I've got somewhere else? So yeah, I do. And you should not feel sorry for me. I mean, it's a fact that I do that, but it's also a fact that I choose to do that. It keeps our expenses for the show very, very low. It makes it possible for us to operate on a paper-thin budget. Look, if I were having to pay a mortgage payment each month, or if I were having to pay, you know, the rent on the studio and the rent on an apartment each month, our budget couldn't stand that. There are people who send me nasty emails because of the fact that we are listener-supported. And, you know, they talk about how if your show really was any consequence, you know, you'd have advertisers. Well, let me tell you, we used to. And it was my decision to cut them out. And the reason I cut them out is because they stole from us over $100,000 in 1 year, three advertising agencies. And, you know, life's too short, and I'm just not going to put up with that kind of nonsense and have to, you know, be embroiled in all of the controversy and all of the confrontation, and I can live without that. So we are listener supported, and that means most people listen to the show for free and never contribute a penny to our survival. But some understand that there's more to be had in our members' community, and that we have to have financial support from our listeners in order to be here tomorrow night. And so they join our members' community. They get all the goodies. And, for instance, that seminar, Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki, they got it for free, live. So there's all kinds of goodies that happen when you're a member. Okay? But being a member of our members' community means you're supporting the show financially, as well as kind of, you know, morally and sort of, you know, your spirit is in it. And that's how we survive. Part of my part of doing this is to keep expenses low, so I don't duplicate what I have overseas. Does that make sense? And so, you know, my personal budget is so low, and if you think this is not true, you get in touch with the producer, and you ask the producer. My personal budget is so low, you cannot imagine living on it. Now, that's not a poor me story. It's just stating the facts. Okay? I do that by choice to keep our expenses low so that we can be as big as we are for as little cost as possible. And I'm very glad to say that we have people from all around this planet who are members in our members community and who support this show and make it possible for us to continue night after night after night. It gets close sometimes, because sometimes people don't realize, you know, just having the TV station adds to our cost. It's about four times more expensive than having the radio station, which we have both. So there's the answer to the question. All right, that's Open Line Live. That's a wrap for this evening. And I certainly hope that it has been interesting for you. It is always interesting for me when we have Open Line Live because we get to talk about so many different things from so many different perspectives. I appreciate every one of you who called. You make this happen. I want to meet you, too. And I'm going to be in Los Angeles on November the 12th and 13th for the Alchemy event. Come meet me. I want to meet you and get your autograph. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.